So this morning, I thought we'd talk a little bit about packing. As many of you know, I've been going on some trips this summer, and actually next Sunday, after church, later in the afternoon, Chip and I are leaving for 11 days. We're going to go to Spain to walk the last 100 kilometers of the Camino, which is an ancient pilgrimage route there. And so I brought some props along, some suitcases. These are all empty right now because I haven't really done my laundry yet and gotten ready. But I did bring a few things along that are important, that are going to be important for this trip. And I thought maybe we could talk about them today. So what do you think I'm going to need for this trip? Shoes. Oh, yes. You are so right. Here they are. Yes, I have shoes. What else should I bring? A Bible. That's kind of big and heavy, isn't it? Is the Bible on my phone okay? Actually, I kind of get what you're saying, Nance, because I am going to bring a prayer book because Chip and I are hoping to do a devotion at the beginning and end of each day, and we're going to use this little book called Praying with the Earth, a prayer book for peace by John Philip Newell, and it has a very nice little prayer for every morning and evening. So, and it has scripture in it too. So this is sort of going to be, we're going to use this along with the Bible on our phone. Yeah, what else do we need? Yeah, raincoat, who knows what the weather's going to be. In fact, I've also got a hat in here because it could get really hot and sunny, and some sunscreen. So certainly need to be prepared. The other things I've brought are hiking poles because we're going to be walking 9 to 15 miles every day. So these poles will help us get a little extra energy and protect my knees and my back, I hope. What else do we need? Yeah, I forgot to bring that. Thanks for the reminder. Yes, yeah, certainly toiletries, all that good stuff, little soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, yep. So I thought it might be good to bring my passport. It's always good to remember who you are and make sure everybody else knows who you are when you're traveling. So, yeah, brought my passport, and I'm also bringing this guidebook that the travel company we booked our trip with sent us, all about the Camino. And it is full of maps and all kinds of information about where we are going. So these are all things that are helpful. There will be a lot more in this suitcase next week. But like I said, I've got to do my laundry first. But as I was thinking about what we pack, like these are all the concrete things, the obvious things. What are some of the other things I need to take that don't take up any space? Say that again. Faith, yeah, that's right. Faith that the airplanes are going to fly on time and the trains, and faith that I'll be able to do whatever it is we're trying to do, all kinds of faith, yeah. What else do I need?
Open mind.
An open mind. Why do I need that?
So you can have experiences that you
necessarily have. Right, so I'm going to be in a brand new place. I've never been to Spain before. In fact, I don't speak Spanish at all. Chip does, or sort of, my kids do, but I don't. So I'm going to need to go with a really open mind to experience something new and to be open to whatever I might learn from the people and the experiences that I have, right? And what else kind of goes with an open mind? This is one of the patience. Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Curiosity,
yeah, because I'm not going to this place to just have my same old life. I'm going to learn something new. I want to find out what's out there and see a different side of life. Yeah, what else would I need?
Perseverance.
Say that again.
Perseverance.
Yep.
Strength.
You
need chips.
Yeah, that's true. I need chips. Yeah. It will be nice to go with a friend. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's interesting to think about taking a trip. We all pack up for that stuff. But I've actually, the way this summer has gone, my whole summer has been a series of little trips. And it made me think, well, you know, life really isn't that different. We move from one season to the next. We move from one stage of life to the next. We move from one grade of school to the next, or from the middle school to the high school. We are constantly in motion. Life is all about moving. And so it made me kind of think about what is it that we need to take with us wherever we go, regardless of if we're going on a trip somewhere or just staying home and living our life from day to day. And so that's what this our scriptures are about today, what the sermon's about today. And I would invite you to think about what are those core things that you take with you that might not take up any space at all, but that you need to be ready to face whatever is coming. Amen. So our second lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, the very end, the 13th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, and those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. So some of you who have read the newsletter will recognize a little bit of what I'm going to say, because it's sort of similar. But the regular refrain in our house this summer has been, it's time to pack up again. Between packing up kids and bringing them home from college back in May, then packing them up for various summer programs and adventures, going on 2 one-week vacations and a conference in between, and then packing 2 kids up and taking them to college, barely a week has gone by in our house without the need to do multiple loads of laundry and restock the toiletries bag so that we could pack up again and move on to our next destination or our next stage of our summer journey. Although the trips and adventures have been great, I confess that it has been exhausting to have to continually go through packing lists and checklists in my head and on the computer. What do we need for this trip? Do we need more sunscreen? Where are everybody's passports and vaccination cards? Of course, the worry is that we might forget something important or discover that we really did need that extra set of sneakers or that extra toothbrush, and that somehow our trip will be more challenging or less comfortable without them. We may not have what we need to do what we want to do. We might not be prepared for whatever is coming next. I was acutely aware of this particular anxiety last Sunday when we dropped child number two off at college for the first time. And as soon as I felt it in that moment, I remembered feeling the exact same way with child number one 3 years ago. That hole in the pit of your stomach feeling of, uh-oh, are they really ready to be on their own? Are they going to make it? Did we do everything we needed to do? Did we teach them everything they need to know to embark on this next stage of life? What if we forgot something? What if they're not ready? I'm sure we've all felt something similar at various times in our lives. Starting a new grade in school or a new job, packing up one part of your life and then moving to a new community, putting your kindergartner on the bus for the first day of school, or waking up the morning after your last day of work and facing that great unknown called retirement. We feel it whenever we move from one stage or place in life to another, or when we have to help someone else navigate these times of transition and change. Am I ready? Do I have everything I need? Are they ready? Do they have everything they need? What if we forgot something? Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. I didn't mean to create anxiety in the midst. Our scripture lessons this morning actually help us through these times of transition because they contain what I like to think of as a packing list for life, wherever life takes you. These scripture lessons remind us of what is ultimately most important to bring along so that we can step forward into whatever is coming next with hope and even enthusiasm. So let's take a closer look at them. At first glance, Psalm 112 might sound like an ode to a bunch of goody-two-shoes. People who follow all the rules, do everything right, coast through life, and basically make the rest of us feel inadequate. Good for them, we think, but what about us? Actually, Psalm 112 is supposed to be read with the psalm that comes before it, Psalm 111. They are actually a pair of wisdom psalms that help us focus on what's most important in life. And if we could read them in Hebrew, we would find that each of these psalms is an acrostic. They are made up of 22 measures, and each measure begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We might say that these two psalms contain the ABCs of life, covering everything we need to know from A to Z. And I forget offhand what the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is. Because we didn't read Psalm 111 this morning, let me just tell you that it is a psalm of praise to God and all of God's wonderful works in the world and in our lives. The Lord is gracious and merciful, providing food and life for all, reaching out to be in covenant relationship with the world God made and the people God created in God's image. The works of the Lord are faithful and just, full of honor and majesty. Everything God does is for making and healing and sustaining God's good gift of life and life abundant. Psalm 111 ends with these words. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Psalm 112 begins, in response, praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. And then it goes on to describe the life of those who fear God and follow in God's ways. Now, I know that most of us do not like the idea of fearing God. To our modern ears, it implies unhealthy power dynamics, judgment, guilt, and punishment. Who wants to be scared into doing anything, especially following a God who's supposed to be all about love and grace? Unfortunately, we human beings have way too many bad examples of fear-mongering and abuse of power in the world around us to be inclined to understand what it means to fear God in a positive way. But I like to think of fearing God kind of like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon, or next to the ocean, or on a mountaintop, or under a starlit sky, surrounded by infinite space and beauty, majesty and power far beyond my puny abilities to completely understand and certainly not control. I'm kidding myself if I somehow think that I could step off the edge and not be subject to the much larger forces of nature at work around us, like gravity or the tides. Far better that I stand in awe and respect and gratitude for what is in front of me and then live my life accordingly. The same is true for the God who created, redeemed, and sustains us, the God who is above all and in all and through all, the God who is infinite in love and mercy, wisdom and power, the God who is beyond all time and space, and yet is present in every molecule and moment, the The God who knows our every thought, word, and deed before we ourselves do. As finite creatures of an infinite Creator, the only authentic human response is to stand in awe and amazement, love and gratitude before such a God, the Holy One who created us in her image and calls us to walk in his ways. And so instead of the lifestyles of the rich and famous, Psalm 112 lifts up the lifestyle of the blessed and faithful. First, they follow God's ways, understanding that the commandments are not a pain in the neck set of rules or a bunch of legalistic requirements. They're not a burden, but a revelation of God's grace and care for us. They are guidelines that help us become the amazing people God created us to be and to live the abundant life God created us to enjoy. The blessed and the faithful know who they are as God's beloved children, and they strive to live in right relationship with God, with one another, and with all of creation. And so they are kind and compassionate, just and generous, eager to share God's blessings with others, and especially those who have less. They are grateful and giving, helpful and hopeful, a beacon of light and a refuge of peace in a weary world. And perhaps most surprising, those who fear God, who truly know who God is and how much God loves them, they are not afraid. No matter what comes their way or where life takes them, their hearts are firm, steady, secure in the God who is with them every moment of every day and every step along the way. Our passage from Hebrews contains similar guidance for living in the world and facing the future. This letter was written to a well-established Christian community that was in crisis. And although they had once been strong in their faith and practice, now some people were lagging behind and dropping out of the life of faith. They were also facing external pressures from the culture around them, distractions and social and political and economic hostility and even persecution. Life was not going the way they expected, and their future felt uncertain. The letter to the Hebrews is actually more of a sermon, and in it the author spends a lot of time reminding this community of faith who God is, especially the God we know in Jesus Christ, and how this Jesus has walked in our footsteps already and shows us the way forward. Our passage today comes from the very end of the letter when the author moves from the theological to the practical and gives the congregation some concrete advice. Just like the psalmist did, the author focuses on how we are to live, both in community with one another and with the larger world around us. Again, this kind of sounds like another list of rules and annoying do's and don'ts. But if we look a little closer, we can find the deeper wisdom under it that helps guide our way. As New Testament scholar N.T. Wright explains, the practical life of the Christian community must be ordered in such a way that generosity and love, the love, of course, that reflects and continues to embody God's self-giving love, love and generosity will be its central features. Hence, let mutual love continue. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember, pray for, visit, and minister to those who are in prison and suffering and being tortured as if you yourself were in their body. Respect marriage and don't act in ways that break up relationships and families. And watch out for the love of money. It will pull you off track quicker than anything else. Put your love for God at the center of your life, and you will find contentment. Do good and share what you have. Let your life be a continual song of praise. All of these guidelines, rules, whatever you want to call them, pieces of wisdom or advice, all of these are possible because of what God has promised us. I will never leave you or forsake you, because God is our helper and we do not need to be afraid, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the good news we take with us into whatever is coming next. Thinking back to last Sunday, standing in that parking lot outside of my son's dorm, saying our goodbyes, I realized yet again that it takes a lot of faith. Faith in our children, faith in our best attempts to love them and guide them, faith in the future, and ultimately faith in God. To leave your child behind in a brand new place, surrounded by strangers far away from home, and to let them find their way forward into their unique future. In fact, it takes a lot of faith to start anything new. It takes faith just to live through the ups and downs of life in a meaningful way. Whether we are packing for a trip, entering a new grade in school, starting a new job, or embarking on another of life's transitions, we quickly learn that the only constant in life is change. Rather than trying to hold on to what has been or go back to where we were before, our scriptures invite us to do something healthier and more productive, to focus on preparing ourselves for the future, making sure that we have the supplies and the resources, the skills and abilities, the support and the faith we need to move forward into whatever is coming next. The best way to do that, according to the Psalm and to Hebrews, is to remember who you are as a child of an awesome and inspiring God who loves you and this world in ways far beyond your wildest imagining. And then to live your life accordingly. As one commentator noted, our passages from Scripture boil down to three packing essentials for our journey through life: worship and praise to our amazing God, fellowship, being in community with one another, and good deeds of generosity and service, sharing God's blessings far and wide. As you return from wherever your summer has taken you, as you plan your schedules for this fall and whatever is coming next, we hope that you will start with these packing essentials and that you will come here to church, to First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown or wherever you find community, to get what you need for the journey ahead. Through worship and faith formation, you can grow in your faith, become stronger, learn new things, and be part of a community of fellow travelers. Through service opportunities like teaching Sunday school, helping with the pantry, supporting each other's emotional and mental health, working on food justice, and caring for creation, you can share the blessings of what God has given you and make a difference in someone else's life or the world. Rather than fearing the future or worrying if you've forgotten anything, here we are grounded every week in the good news that no matter where we are or where life takes us, God is with us, walking beside us, offering us love and grace, wisdom and strength, hope and peace for the journey ahead. So it's time to pack up again. Amen. You may be seated. As we come into a time of joys and concerns, I want to say a special word of thanks to all of those who continue to help us out over the course of this summer, filling in with liturgy and music and tech team and helping out around the church. We really appreciate it. I also want to lift up the joy of this, which is our Disciple. It's our newsletter, which just came out this week. Some of you got it in your email. We have some hard copies around the church. If you haven't read it yet, by all means, pick up a copy and look at it. It is chock full of all kinds of things coming up for in the next few weeks, starting with our picnic in 2 weeks, as well as the kickoff of faith formation for the youngest to the oldest, and we hope that you will get involved. Along those lines, we are really looking for some Sunday school teachers. One of the things that gave me comfort last Sunday when I dropped off my son at college was that he knows he's part of a bigger community that cares for him. And it really doesn't boil down to just what me and Chip have been able to do for him or give him, but I'm relying on what all of you have shared with my family as well, especially my kids, as you have built them up and nurtured them and showed them God's love. They know who they are and they know who they can turn to in times of need. And I think whenever we baptize a child, we are promising that we will do the exact same thing for each and every person that walks through our doors. So we really do need some help with Sunday school teaching. I hope if you've been asked, you might reconsider. If you haven't been asked and think you might enjoy it, by all means, come talk to me or Stephanie after the service. We would love to tell you more. Other joys and concerns that we bring to one another in prayer today. Yep, COVID continues to disrupt life, and moving into the future and learning how to live with this is our new reality. I think we certainly extend prayers for healing for all those who are living with it, and we extend prayers for all of us as we keep moving forward in the midst of it. Karen. Great. Yeah. So, yeah, the joy of coming back to church after being away, especially taking care of others. also, prayers for Karen. She has gone through a major surgery this week and is recovering at Westchester Medical Center, and so we invite your prayers and care and concern for her and her family.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we pray for all of those struggling with different kinds of fears, fear of failure, fear of forgetting something, fear of success, fear of the unknown. All of those can be paralyzing, and so we ask love and grace and support as we face those fears and move forward with some sense of confidence and faith and hope.
Continued prayers of healing for my dad, who's been in the hospital this week, and also just prayers for all of our healthcare workers. Hard and they've got a lot of
things right now. Yes, so prayers for all those in our healthcare system, especially those who are working so hard, and also prayers for Stephanie's dad, prayers for Ken Sherman as well, who is going through some continued health struggles, and for Mariana as she cares for him as well. Other joys and concerns? Nicole. Prayers for Christy as she goes through cancer treatments. We will pray. Yes. So for Lorna, is that her name?
Loida.
Loida. Okay. As she deals with a rare form of cancer, and that also reminds me of Adler, a 16-year-old boy who is also dealing with a rare form of brain cancer. Yep. A lot going on. Charles.
My good friend Tom is suffering from vertigo
fantastic. Wow, congratulations on your 57th anniversary. That's wonderful. That's great. Any advice for the rest of us? Takes a lot of faith to be married that long, doesn't it? Yeah. And also prayers for Tom as he deals with vertigo. Other joys and concerns today? Yes.
I just want to share a joy of my friend and colleague, Matt Silver, with us today. It's nice to not only support the arts, but also support each other and bringing him in and sharing us as well as him bringing part of himself and sharing it with you. So welcome, Matt, and thank you for being here.
So let us bring all of that together into a time of prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for being our holy companion on this journey through life and faith. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be God with us, yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for giving us the gift of your Spirit to dwell within us and walk beside us, offering us guidance and strength along the way. Living God, we ask your presence, your wisdom, your continued guidance in this time, in times of transition, as we move into the next and the new. We continue to emerge from the pandemic and all of the disruptions it has caused. New school years are starting, seasons are changing, along with the world around us. Even when the future looks uncertain, remind us that we are not alone. Help us to remember that just as you have been with all those who have gone before us, so also you go with us now, as our teacher and leader, as our partner and friend. As we live forward into the future, open our eyes to your presence among us. Open our hearts to receive your love and grace. Open our minds to imagine new possibilities for faith and service. Open our hands that we may be as generous with others and with you as you have been with us. May we walk the pilgrim way with hope and commitment to be the people and community of faith you call us to be, welcoming strangers, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, visiting those in prison, lifting up the downtrodden, and working for your peace and justice. Finally, O Lord, hear our petitions for those in special need of your grace this day, for victims of poverty and oppression, violence and abuse, for the hungry and the unhoused, for all those struggling under the weight of the damage we are causing to this earth, for the neglected and the lonely, for the misunderstood and the marginalized, for the ill, the dying, and those responsible for their care. Be with them all, O Lord, surround them, undergird their lives with your presence, your faithfulness, and your healing power. We praise you, God of glory, for your attention and your presence with us in prayer. We thank you for listening and for answering our prayers. Hear us now as we offer up all of these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as I was unpacking my suitcase, nobody mentioned that I should bring my wallet along in case I needed some money. But I'll definitely do that. But as we come into this time of offering, I invite you to think a little bit, not just in terms of what's in your wallet, but in terms of all of the gifts that God has given you and how you might share them with this community and with the world around us, and especially with those who need more. And through the work and the ministry of this church as well. Let us give back to God as God has given to us.
What I did was right. Thought I had the answer. I thought I'd show the show.
Let us join together in the prayer of dedication. Source of all life and every blessing, we bring our gifts and our lives before you. As you have blessed us with the good news of your love and grace, and given us everything we need to be your disciples in the world, so may we carry with us always this good news and your gifts of love and hope, justice and peace. Through our words and actions, our church and our lives, may we help others to see you and know your presence with them in the world around us and as we move forward into the future. Amen. Let us share the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and also with you. Let us share the peace. As you journey into the future and whatever comes next, may you know the love of Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit that surrounds you this day and always. Amen.